We thank God for his faithfulness. We thank God for all that he is and will always be in our lives. I want to thank God for every one of you that have logged in, Facebook, YouTube, and other platforms, maybe watching on our app or the website. I want to thank God for the wonderful privileges accorded us to be part of the family of God. You know, I remember, and you must have heard me share this quite a few times, but in times like this, when it seems like the doors are shut, God has an open door to your heart, to your life. There is no stopping of God in accomplishing his purposes in our lives. I give him praise for that. You know, many years ago, it was yet during the days of the early days of the internet. There were no videos, no pictures of any sort, just graphics in terms of letters, numbers, and stuff like that. And the printers were bulky, and you didn't have the nice prints that we have now. You know, when you typed an A, you know, just bing, 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 you know, all kinds of dots. That early, the Lord said, get cameras for the internet, he said. I didn't understand it then. Because even at that time, I didn't even see the possibility of printing on a regular 8x10 sheet. My understanding of this particular technology was so little. But God was talking about cameras. And today, here we are on the internet. And I'm speaking to you through this medium by video because God knows all things. You know what? I just heard the Lord say something. God knows money. God knows about investments. And there are saints that are about to break into a supernatural realm of finances because God knows the market. And some of you are about to invest in things that the world doesn't understand. They don't think it's going to go anywhere. But God will supernaturally direct you very specifically on what to invest in because he knows the end of it. And in fact, God is going to bless certain investments just because you are a believer. And he is, oh my God, I give you praise. He's about to turn the tables and finance the things of the kingdom supernaturally. And he is going to use the marketplace to bring resources into the hands of God's people. I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that God will give to his children seeing eyes, hearing ears, and understanding hearts. In the name of Jesus, supernatural wisdom, knowledge, and understanding be released unto the people of God. Every son and every daughter, that there be not one feeble not 1 week. Oh, I hear the Lord. I hear the Lord. There is not going to be one feeble or 1 week in the body of Christ. We started out with not many of you are noble, not many of you are wealthy, but we are going to wrap up with every one of us noble and wealthy, because there is a wealth transfer that is coming to the body of Christ, supernatural. It is not based on the natural workings of man. It is based on God's supernatural insight. Just like God showed me what was going to happen on the internet before it happened, God is saying, I'm going to reveal my secrets to my servants. This supernatural grace is coming upon those who are faithful stewards of what God has given to them now. God is not going to make a bigger thief out of you if you are not honoring him now. You're going to dream dreams. You're going to see visions. And it's not just going to be about healing miracles in terms of healing of physical bodies, but healing of minds and healing of finances. Mande matoshika lade balakoshika. Oh, we thank God. We started out talking about the names of God last Sunday. And we looked at the word of God found in Proverbs 18 and verse 10, where the word of God says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, a strong migdal. A migdal is a tower, it's an elevated stage, it's a pulpit. It is a raised bed. That's what a migdal is. But generally, it is a tower. But the word of God says the righteous run into this tower. And as they run into it, they experience safety. They are safe. Somebody say, I am safe. Say it again, I am safe. Praise the Lord. I am safe because I have run into this tower. What does that word, sagab, or safe mean? It means to be defended. It means to be exalted. It means to come into a place of excellence. So God is setting you up in a place of excellence, in a place of nobility. God is raising you up by His Spirit and placing you in a place of honor. Oh, thank God that this is the place that God brings everyone who runs into His name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know that word, sagab? It means to be placed in a place that is inaccessibly high. God tells us that we are seated in heavenly places far above all principalities, all powers, all rulers of the darkness of this world, all spiritual wickedness. You are in an inaccessible height where no matter what the enemy tries to do, he cannot reach you. Mighty God, this is the place we run into. That no matter what the enemy is exploring and strategizing to do, that he cannot connect with you, because the power of God has elevated you and placed you in an elevated bed of rest. We rest in the goodness of God. We rest in the peace of God. We rest in the provisions of God. We rest in the authority of God. We rest in the glory of the living God. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. We give God praise. Somebody shout hallelujah. God has something on His mind, child of God. And it has no lack attached to it. It has not sickness, disease, and death attached to it. It doesn't have defeat attached to it. For God makes you and I more than conquerors. He brings us to that place where we can say boldly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The God we serve is the God who draws us out, just like He drew Moses out of the treacherous river of the Nile and placed him, placed him in a place of honor, took him for nothing, and connected him with that which took him to the highest place. And his name, Moses, means to be drawn. So is this God that we serve about to draw you out of this miry clay, out of this place of strange children, out of these big waters that you don't see the land. I was playing with my grandson yesterday. He was sitting in a little tub that he used to bathe in when he was very little. And there he was, and I'm bouncing this tub as if it was a boat. I gave him something to be rowing, and I'm bouncing it, and he's having fun, and the sister climbed in, and they were both there, and they were both having fun. And then he said, I want to get to the shore. So I kept on moving it and moving it and moving it and moving it, and we had a pretend shore of landing. I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that some of you that have been roaming in the open waters for so long, you are about to land. You come in to land. It has been years, but the God who remains God and will always be God and can never be ungodded. That God is your God, and He is bringing you to land. You will arrive. I say you will arrive. I say you will arrive. Every son and every daughter of the living God will arrive at their destiny in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. You've run into the Lord. You've run into His name, and you are safe. Maye matesuka talaba. We serve an awesome God. In Genesis chapter 22, God reveals a name to His servant Abraham. Genesis 22, beginning to read from verse 12, it says here, and He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, For now I know that thou fearest God. Hallelujah. Now I know. What is the context of this? Let's go to the first verse and come quickly through these verses. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. God tempted Abraham. You know, the word of God says God doesn't tempt. But there is a unique statement here about God tempting Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And I want you to notice what the temptation is. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him, that is thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Offer him there for a burnt offering. So the only time that God, the Bible tells us that God tempted somebody for real, had to do with his offering. On whether he or she was going to honor God with the offering. That which you loved, and you know we love our money. We want to keep your money. Keep whatever it is that you've got. But the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of it becomes the root of all evil. And it's not just money in terms of currency, but whatever it is that you place your love into, that thing becomes an idol to you. God says, I want you to lay it down. Bring it up for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. I'm going to tell you which mountain I want you to take this offering to. Isn't that incredible? God knew what mountain he wanted this offering to be sacrificed. So there he was. And the Bible tells us that he rose up early in the morning. You see, when God gives you an instruction, if you think about it too long, you might think yourself out of obedience. So he moved on the instruction early in the morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went on to the place of which God had told him. This place, he says in verse 4, he says, then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. This place was afar off. It was way out there. But he saw it on the third day. The third day represents the day of resurrection. That is the day that you rise from the place of death. On the third day, he sees this place afar off. God is very connected to the third day, and maybe one of these days we'll talk about what that number 3 and the third day means with God. But let's go further. He says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here, stay here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Next verse. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire, I see the fire, I see the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself the offering. They came to the place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, understand. Isaac is not a young man or a baby, a boy. He's a young man at this point in his life. He can fight his 100-plus-year-old father off. But he surrendered himself. Just like Jesus did, he surrendered himself to be that offering, that sacrifice. Where? On Mount Moriah. Moriah. What is Moriah? Moriah means a place chosen by God. Chosen by God. That's what Moriah means. Now, when God talks about our offering, he has a chosen place. He says to us, he says, bring all of your tithe and your offerings into my house. God has a set place that you need to bring that offering. I know we're talking about the names of God, but we're talking about the names of God in a very particular place today. Please get your mind off the gutter. I'm not here trying to collect money from you. I'm here to bring you to the place of your safety in God. So they come there, and verse 10 says to us, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He takes the knife and he wants to slay the son. But watch this. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Isn't that amazing? That the man is always saying, here am I. He says it to his son, here am I. He says it to God, here am I. Because he knows you need to be present. There is a power in being present. So many of us are so absent-minded. We're never present. And we're living in a world where people are not present. We are at the dining table and we are not present. We are out there because there's so many distractions. This is pulling you that way. The cell phone is over there and doing this, and you are on that and on that and on that and on that. And so many times we are not present to hear God. Do you know that if you don't hear God, that you can make the worst mistakes in your life? That it's important to keep on hearing God day in, day out, at all times. The man said, "Here am I." And he gets an instruction. And the instruction is this. Remember, the first instruction is, "I want you to offer your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, to me as an offering." And the man is obedient and wants to do that. And now he hears this, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God." You have an honor, a reverence for God, seeing thou hast not withheld. In fact, we first find out what God's definition of the fear of God is. It is that we do not withhold from God our offering. If you are withholding that which God has given to you from God, you don't have a fear of God. He said it, "For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, which was meant to be the offering, thine only son, from me." You've not withheld your resources from me. You've not withheld the blessings I've placed upon your life from me. Too many times we see the blessing, the provision of God, as a provision for ourselves and for our own personal use, and that God doesn't have any say on the matter. And God says, "No, if you have a reverence for me, if you have a true fear of God, then you will not withhold your offering from me." Watch this. "And Abram lifted up his eyes." Do you remember? He first lifted up his eyes, and the first thing he saw was Mount Moriah. I'll come back to verse 13, but let's go back to verse 2 and 3 for a moment. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah," the land that Jehovah has chosen. Go. You know what the enemy wants, would like to do, is to keep us from the place God has chosen, the place that God has called us all to be gathered together. It seems so far off, but I tell you, child of God, God is stepping into this matter, and you, the princes of God, shall be gathered together as a covenant people. So Psalm 47 says, the princes of God are gathering together. We are coming together. We're coming to the Moriah of God, the place that God has chosen. This is a chosen place that God has called us all to come and worship him in spirit and in truth. But the first place of Moriah is here. This is the temple of God, the place God wants to reign. And God needs for you today to turn it all over to him and say, "Take possession of me." He says, "And offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his two young men with him and the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And on, watch this now, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. The first stage of his lifting up of his eyes was that he located the place. Have you located the place that God has assigned for you to bring your sacrifice? Have you located it? Do you know the place that God has assigned for you to bring that sacrifice, that precious that he has blessed you with? I pray today that God will open your eyes to see, maybe far away from you, but you're coming closer to it. You're coming closer to it. And I pray that this will be that place that God has marked out for you to see where you're going to bring that precious that God has assigned into your life. Now let's go to verse 13 again. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, watch this, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him. In other words, he'd gone past what God had provided already. How do you look up and see behind you? Because this sin was not a sin of the natural. It was a supernatural revelation, an unveiling of that which he did not know was there. So it is that God wants to unveil things that are there that you cannot see presently. But you're not going to see the provision of God if you're not willing to tie down that which God has already given to you, that which you can see. Once you release that which you can see, God is going to say, that is not going to be good enough. I have something better. Don't touch this one. He saw a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Oh my God. Now we come to it. Verse 14 says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, or Jehovah Yireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So what is Jehovah Yireh? It's told us. I know generally we say Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, and yes, God provided. But how did God provide? God provided because he opened the eyes of a man to see. God opens your eyes to see. But Jehovah Jireh means, it means this, it means that God sees to it. What does God see to? God sees to it that you are provided for, that your needs are met according to his riches and glory. The Lord sees, the Lord knows, the Lord remembers. Jehovah Jireh, God, you see me. I want you to know that God sees you. God sees you, God knows you, God understands you, and God is a God who makes total provision possible upon this mount, in this mount of the Lord. It shall be seen what God has already provided.
shall be seen. The Lord sees to it. The Lord shows. The Lord unveils. The Lord unmasks that which was hidden from your view, your perspective, your experience. Can you imagine? The ram is caught in a thicket. And Abraham didn't see it. Isaac didn't see it. You know, Isaac was the one who said, "Where is the lamb?" And the father says, God will provide himself. So you know that as they're going and they come into the place where the altar is going to be set, that Isaac is there and the altar has been put in place, and I'm sure he's looking around. But where is the... My father said, God is going to provide himself. Isaac didn't see it. Abraham didn't see it. I can understand that Abraham didn't see it, because Abraham already knew that Isaac was the one that was going to go on that altar. But why didn't Isaac see it? Because the only way that which you have passed is going to be made manifest, that which is hidden is made manifest, is by you being willing to go all the way to bring that sacrifice unto God. Bringing to God the precious. And when you and I bring that precious to God, all of a sudden things begin to pop open. Things that, opportunities that you did not see before, come alive. One of our spiritual sons sent me a text. About the breakthroughs that he'd been experiencing. And he said, I had sown a precious seed. So I sent a text back to him. I said, what was that precious seed that you sowed? He said, myself. I sowed me. I got under that text. He said, within the last 3 or so weeks, I have a contracts come to me that are worth about $1 million. That didn't just happen. Things like that don't just happen. They happen because when you sow of yourself to God, God begins to unveil things for you. I have faith in God, a God who provides. You know, the world says, run to me for sustenance. And I heard God say, don't you go there. And at the same time, God is saying, give this away and send this over there and send this over there and send this over there. I'm saying, I need the money. Why are we sending it away? God says, because I am your source. And during this time, while we're sending away, I see God doing something, because people that I have never met, don't know them from Adam, are sending resources. I'm saying, we've never received anything from these people before. What is happening here?
Oh, it's about God not only opening your eyes to see what opportunities there are. It's also about God opening people's eyes to see that they are supposed to sow into your life. So the word of God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men bring into your bosom. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that there be a release of resources for the people of God. Even now, at this time that's so difficult in the natural realm, God, who is forever God, will resource you, provide for you, meet your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God our Father shall elevate you to a place where you are not accessible by the powers of darkness, for he rebukes the devourer for your sake in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. His name is Jehovah Jireh. His provision shall be seen. He shall see to it that every need in your life is met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But the thing that you and I need to do is to run into that name. How do we run into that name? We run into that name by trusting him. We run into that name by waking up early, just like Abraham did. So I'm moving in the direction of obedience. He says, when we honor him with our tithes and our offerings, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing. The blessing is not money. The blessing is God's capacity operating in you and through you to see that which others don't see. Opportunities. Grace furnishing you to do things that you never thought were needed. God says, do this. Do this. Take that. But what am I going to do with this? Just take it. And you find out at the right time why God said, take that. Do this. Go here. Talk to that person. Send a letter to that person. Call this number. God is going to deal with you in a very supernatural way and cause you to step out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Others are not going to see the opportunities that you see. It is meant for those who are faithful, who have a fear of God. They are going to see things. They are going to buy properties. Strategically. It says, buy that property. Oh, but I like this one. No, buy that one. And you buy that one. And lo and behold, that property, that's where all kinds of precious things are. That property is the one that's going to be appraised at a higher level. That property is going to be a property that somebody is willing to sell everything to get. The grace of the pearl of great price. Nobody else sees it, but you do. Oh, why are you buying that property? Well, the Lord is directing me to do it. So shall it be. So shall it be. And I say it again, so shall it be. Surprises. Jehovah Jireh, upon this mountain it shall be seen. In the book of Obadiah, chapter 1 and verse 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. There's a mount in which you are going to possess your possessions. You see, Mount Zion happens to be one of the mounts in the range of Moriah. A chosen place. The Jerusalem of God. God says, there shall be deliverance. Deliverance because you escaped something and you are delivered from something. But deliverance also because something is being delivered to you. You are going to be removed from casualties and you are going to be one who receives the blessings of the Lord. For in safety there is deliverance, and in safety there is provision. Oh, we give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 Let me just go a little bit further in this. I might just be done with just Jehovah Jireh this morning. I'm not sure. He says in Genesis chapter 22. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, watch this, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. I'm not swearing by anything else, but by myself have I sworn. For because thou hast done this thing, what thing? Had the fear of God in bringing the offering. Because you have done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that is your precious. That in blessing, that in blessing, I will bless thee. That in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed, matoprekatahai, shall possess the gate of his enemies. Everyone that has stood as an enemy against you, you're going to collect what they've got. They are your portion. God said, because you've demonstrated this fear and reverence for me by bringing your precious. You see, Ishmael was not his precious. He could have offered Ishmael, and it wouldn't have counted as anything. And sometimes we bring something else. We bring, you know, he went up that mountain himself, his son Isaac, and two servants. He could have offered those servants instead and said, blood is blood. Sacrifice is sacrifice. No. It is a sacrifice that God spoke to you about. And this is something that so many people lose sight of. That it is not every offering that changes things. And that's why it's so important for you and I to be able to ask God, God, what do you want from me today? God, what do you want? And when you hear from God what he wants, every gift that you bring to God becomes a precious one. Because that's what God chose. That's what he wants. And when you let God choose for himself what he wants, he will choose for you the best. And it is so important that God choose for you. That God choose the place that you work. That God choose the spouse that you marry. That God chooses the children for you. That God chooses, because you have allowed God to choose what he wants from you. You're willing to surrender it. Is in blessing, I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to multiply this, thy seed as the stars of heaven. This has become generational. Do you see? No, no, God says that in blessing, I will bless thee. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. But God says, having blessed thee, I'm going to multiply that blessing in your children. That's generational. I'm going to bless your seed as the stars of heaven. I'm going to multiply them. And as the sea on the sand on the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. God does not just intend to bless you. God intends to bless you and bless your children.